Hello, Royals fans, and welcome once again to the podcast Inside Athletics. I'm Dave King, Director of Athletics here at EMU, and I want to welcome you to this week's podcast. I'm joined again this week by James DeBoer, our Sports Information Director, who continues on his journey towards becoming a father. How far away is that, James?
Officially, about a month.
Okay.
But it is twins, so it could be any time, including today or tomorrow.
Okay.
Who knows? Well,
I think you said that my phone number is on speed dial with you or text, mm-hmm. and you'll just say, headed to the hospital, and then we know we won't see you for a while.
But not coming into work for a couple
anyway.
Of days.
Well, we got a couple of things we want to update you with. And again, we're doing a podcast every week to keep you posted on what's going on. We're going to spend some time this summer with a variety of different topics. And today we're going to talk just a little bit about some of the recent hires that we have mentioned before but are now starting to work. Jeff Tyson is our new women's volleyball coach, and he'll also be working in the fitness center. Jeff is in here actually this weekend looking for some housing, and we look forward to him getting started. He's coming from Indiana Wesleyan, where he was an assistant coach for 3 years, plus while he was a student there, he was assisting the women's program. So we're looking forward to that. He's starting to make contact with all of the players. And Carrie Burt, who served as assistant coach the last 2 years, has done a great job of doing the recruiting, and it looks like some good numbers are coming in. Mm-hmm. There's actually some others who were here last year as students, returning as students, who have decided to play volleyball. Mm-hmm. So that number looks pretty good, and I think they're pretty excited about where it's at, and we're looking forward to progress. Jeff's a statistics guy. He's a computer person. He's a real student of the game, does great analysis. That was a lot of his work at Indiana Wesleyan, was analysis of prospective players when they would send videos in, and he was also responsible to break down the other team. So that kind of combination really helps you out, I think, in terms of understanding the game and then being able to teach it and figure out how to challenge. So I don't think he has he has some lofty goals, but I think he's pretty realistic that we have not won many contests, and so it's going to be baby steps to get there. But yeah. I think he has a larger vision towards where we're going to go, and I think we'll get there. Any comments you want to make about your interactions with him at all, James?
It's been pretty limited for me, but I'm excited to get him in here. So, and the numbers thing is always fun for me, obviously.
But, you like the numbers? Well,
yeah.
I'm sure he'll want to do that as well. We mentioned a little bit last time about our golf program, and we're very pleased to be able to announce Wendell Eberle as our golf coach. And he will be assisted by David Johns, who is the professional at Heritage Oaks, which will be our home course. Wendell's no stranger to EMU, having graduated from here and as well as coached.
Yeah.
Right after college, I believe he coached the women's basketball team for a couple of years, two or three.
He told me it was kind of an interim thing, and it turned into 3 years.
So. Well, I'd like to say in those days it happens that way. It might be the same as it is now, but I actually played basketball with Wendell when he was here. He was a year or two ahead of me, and then by the time he came back to coach, I was out of the area. And so he's simply recently retired as the director of Parks and Recreations for Rockingham County. After 30 years, I believe, he spent in that position.
30 at that position itself.
Right. Right. And so he's very, very familiar with the area. Since that time, he is working part-time at Heritage Oaks. Mm-hmm. So he brings a background of coaching. He brings a background, although, and of EMU. And with the assistance of David Johns, I think that's going to be a real plus because the way the schedule works for golf, at least as we anticipate it, probably they're not going to all be able to be out there all together at the same time every day like you would with soccer or basketball. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have things that they do. I was talking to one freshman coming in, and I looked at his schedule and realized that he didn't have any classes on Tuesday. So that doesn't mean he can be on a golf course the whole time, but it does mean that he may go out in the morning and work for 2 hours on chipping or putting or something.
Yeah.
And so to have David Johns there becomes a really important part to be able to provide a little bit of instruction. And so he'll be paid as an instructor to help out with things. And of course, he was a D1 golfer and is known throughout this area. And of course, his connections to other schools and other programs and other golf courses certainly will help in that. So Wendell's getting started this week, and we're starting to gather all the names of people. We recognize that we're a little bit late in the process, so we are hopeful that there's a couple of students who were already planning to come to EMU that may, now that we know, they know we have a golf team, may join that. So they're going to be pretty flexible on the we're looking to play about three tournaments in the fall, three tournaments in the spring. It is a spring sport. But we are going to be doing everybody plays at least three tournaments in the fall and then the spring and then the mm-hmm. ODAC tournament itself. And on the women's side, this will be the first time that the ODAC is sponsoring the women's golf tournament as a conference. And I think it's going to be pretty flexible in that. I think of the five mm-hmm. schools that have it will each host a tournament, maybe even just a one-day tournament where they just come and play 18 or maybe play 36 in one day. And they're going to allow teams that do not have a full complement of five to go ahead and continue to play. So we're excited about that. Wendell's getting ready to start on that. And so we get that word out. And if any of you happen to be listening and interested in it, continue to spread the word that we're excited about the start of that program. And we'll have memberships for everybody over at Heritage Oaks, and you'll be free to play most anytime you want to there as well. We continue the search then for men's volleyball and baseball. We're hopeful to conclude both of those by about mid-June, if we can at all. And part of the delay in that is that I'll be gone next week with meetings of the Old Dominion Athletic Conference. And it will be an extended time, so it will be almost 4 days down there. And I thought we'd talk just a little bit about that. And I'm going to ask James to talk a little bit about the website of ODAC and how that maybe links together with us, because I know many of you out there are used to looking at our website, but we're very interactive with the ODAC as well. And so I'd like to give you just a little bit of background about what we're going to be doing and how the ODAC functions. And then next week, I'm hopeful to have a podcast coming directly from the meetings that are being held at Wintergreen Resort, which is just south of us here a little bit, towards Lynchburg, I guess, maybe not quite that far.
In the mountains,
yeah. Anyway. It's a ski resort, but there's not much skiing going on during this time, so there's a lot of hiking and things. But we'll be down there for 3 days. And then we are going to be hosting an integration institute in which presidents and direct reports and faculty athletics reps will join us. Mm-hmm. And we'll spend 2 days focusing just on how athletics integrates into the academics on all of our campuses and setting some course for that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So next week's podcast will come from that. The ODAC is operated by the governing board, would be the athletic directors of all of the different institutions, and mm-hmm. that's called our board, and we will meet together. And usually most schools bring along one additional representative, perhaps a senior women's administrator, or maybe there's an assistant athletic director or something like that. So we have our board meetings twice a year, once in December for 2 days, and then in the spring or summer here, we have 3 days. I serve as chair, as president of the board this year yet, and I'll be finishing my term and I'll move on as past president for the next 2 years, but then work on the executive committee. The staff of three, Brad Bankston, J.J. Nekoloff, and Molly Robertson, work out of an office in Lynchburg, in the forest area mm-hmm. just outside of Lynchburg. And let's face it, they do the lion's share of the work. Oh, yeah. And J.J. Nekoloff in particular is more or less the SID for the conference, I guess you would say, but mm-hmm. he is an assistant commissioner because of the work that he does in running a lot of the tournaments. So I'm not going to have time to go into all of that at all. Just a few things that we will be dealing with this coming schedule of the agenda that we're going to be working with. Sports also meet. All the head coaches of each sport meet, and they have their sport committee reports. And there is a liaison who is an athletic director on each of those. And they usually meet at the end or beginning of their seasons and then bring their recommendations back. And we work at that as well. This will be the first year for Shenandoah to be in there. All the schedules are set for that, so I don't think that would be much of an issue to do that. But we will have some pretty important things for us to work through. And one is going to be working through the question of the non-traditional season. For those sports that are a spring sport, there's always a fall non-traditional season. Right. And that's always been 4 weeks or 16. The NCAA allows 16 days in which you can be together with your team. And we've always done it 4 days a week for 4 weeks. And there's some interest in going to 5 weeks so that you're only together for three times during that week. And that would be easier on the academic schedule. So there's this difference between is 4 weeks easier on academic schedule or is 5 weeks easier on the academic schedule. And most people are beginning to believe that the 5 weeks is actually more because you can work around labs and things like that. So that's one that we're going to talk about. We are also going to look at the future of men's swimming. That's one of the ones that will be coming up. Some of the new healthcare laws. We always have an update from the NCAA, and the sickle cell test is becoming very big. The insurance things are becoming big. So we're going to talk about that. There's always an interest for us to try to figure out how each other does our athletics. So there's an information sharing that wants to happen. How much do you spend on this? How much does your head coach get? How much is that? That's always a really dicey one, and nobody really wants to get into it. But I think it's one that we will continue to try to tackle, and we're trying to turn it over to the CFOs to try to find some way in which maybe we could get some sharing of common. We all do it differently, and that's really the problem, is doing it differently. Yep. So the conference is responsible to run all of the conference tournaments. And to do all of the SID work and all of the information out there. Brad serves on a lot of NCAA committees as well. And so we have a very, very good working relationship. I'll just conclude my comments by saying that whenever I talk to someone from the NCAA, they speak very, very highly of the way in which we operate as the ODAC and the camaraderie that we have and the way we work together. Mm-hmm. And part of that is Brad's connections to the NCAA and all the committees that he has served on. Right now, Jan Hathorn, who is a athletic director at Washington Lee, is on the management council, which is one of the highest governing boards of Division III. Roz Reichert, who is the president at Emory and Henry, is serving on the president's council, which is the highest governing board of the Division III. So we have good representation. We've got great camaraderie. And I think it really helps our conference. It's why a lot of schools are wanting to be coming in the conference. And we are going to look at that. One of the things we're going to look at is I've challenged all of the ADs to come prepared to talk about what they think athletic program will look like on their campus in 2030. So we'll do that. James, I'd like you to talk just a little bit about the ODAC website and what are some of the things that you understand that JJ tries to do and maybe how that sort of blends in with what we're doing.
Yeah.
There's always a link there and we can get to it. And so what some people wouldn't think that there's much to do from that standpoint because you're doing it all from our school and somebody else is doing it from their school. But talk just a little bit about the ODAC webpage.
Yeah, well, first off, I mean, you talk about how the NCAA in the nation as a general, I think, looks at the ODAC in a positive light. That actually, it goes down to the SID level as well. JJ is incredible in some of the work that he does and the connections that he has. And he keeps the conference from a sports information side of things. He kind of keeps us on the cutting edge of some things. Mm-hmm. We definitely communicate better as far as SIDs compared to some of the other conferences. We find that consistently as we work with each other. And so that's been a very key thing for us, I think, is having JJ in there. And he's the guy who oversees the website as well. Now, the fun part is the ODAC website is also Presto. I'm sure you've heard that at some point over the last year when we changed our new website to be a Presto website. Well, the ODAC already is. So all that interconnectedness is great. You look at our website, you can access the ODAC standings on our website, and that's because of the ODAC forcing everyone into Presto. Even the couple schools that aren't Presto, they still enter their information into Presto. And so that interconnectedness allows us to put the ODAC standings on our website. But on their website, there's so much more stuff as far as extended parts of the standings. Like, you can see the records on our website. You go to theirs, you can see trends, you can see points, the last 10, et cetera, et cetera. The statistics are fantastic on theirs. It's just like if you go to ESPN and, you want to search for the points leaders in the NBA or something like that. You know, it's pretty easy to do that there. Right. I mean, you aren't going to see Randolph Macon's leading scorer in basketball from our website, but you can see all that from the ODAC website. So if you're ever interested in any statistics conference-wide, go to the ODAC website. You can sort them by whatever stat you're looking for. It's very connected there. They do a great job with that. Another thing that I think is pretty underutilized as far as what the ODAC website does is it's a centralized location for any media coming out of a sporting event. So when we host a sporting event, we do live stats, and for certain generally indoor sports, we'll do a live video feed as well. Well, the ODAC website gives you a centralized location where you can get anybody's. You know, if you're interested in Virginia Wesleyan playing Randolph-Macon in a basketball game, obviously we have no connection to that on our website. Right. The ODAC website is very centralized. You can find all that stuff there, from the audio feeds to the video feeds to the live stats. All that stuff is in one place, and it's very nice how it's centralized there.
I noticed like we've had two announcements now of hires, both Jeff Tyson and Wendell, and then I saw they appeared on the ODAC. Do you understand any of what JJ picks up? Like, he's not going to pick up, when you write the story about Bridgewater EMU baseball game,
he
won't pick that one up. But is there yet I see things coming on from other schools there.
Yeah, what that is, JJ has asked us, whenever we send out a release, to just send it to him. So he's got his chance to pick through it. Generally, he's doing the new coach hires. He puts those on. As far as game reports, he leaves those off the ODAC website. His goal with the website is to only aid what we're doing around the conference. He doesn't want to have the report there, because why would you go to our website if you can get it on the ODAC website along with all this other stuff? So he has those things in mind, where he's not going to generally put game reports on unless it's a postseason tournament. I think about the only game reports he puts on. But so he gets a look at all the things we release generally, and we'll throw the special features up there that are going to be interesting to the conference wide. I know the other summer when Eric Kratz got called up to the big leagues for the first time, I did a little something on it. JJ saw it and picked that up. That's one of those things that he'll pick up, because he knows that people from the other schools probably remember Eric Kratz from 10 years ago. And so he picks up those things that are people conference-wide are going to be interested in those.
And then if you are on the ODAC website, you can also click the link to any of the other member schools and you go right to their athletics
webpage. So you can, if you can't figure out what someone's website is, just go to odaconline.com, and right at the top, it's the whole information bar. I'm pretty sure it's on every page. You'll see the logo for every single school. You can click right on there. There's actually I think it doesn't link directly to it. It links to
I think you always have a choice of their homepage or their athletics
page. Right. It links to kind of a school homepage on the ODAC website that gives you a little bit of information as well.
Right.
I mean, I always think it's curious to figure out what everyone's enrollment is at Emory and Henry, at Virginia Wesleyan, at Guilford. Those are one of the things that you can find on that little homepage before you shoot off to their athletics website. It'll tell you their colors, their attendance, all those sorts of things like that.
Well, and if you ever get bored and you don't know what to do, if you really do want to get a flavor of the ODAC schools, that's a great place to just spend half an hour on the ODAC webpage and go to the different ones, and you can kind of see what is there.
Yeah.
I think it's some people forget about the fact that, and I think conference, in my experience from moving from high school to college, I think conference is a very different feel than what your high school league was.
Very.
And so there's a lot of nuances to it. I'm not going to go into all those right now, but certainly in my work as being a board member and now president for the last 2 years, I really begin to understand a little bit more about the role that they play. I still am trying to understand it. And how important it is. And one of the things that we are going to discuss is that, our costs continue to go up to run our conference tournaments and the expenses. And we have three staff now, and that's more than a lot of people have. So we've been having corporate support from Stellar One Bank as well as Farm Bureau. And Farm Bureau runs out this year, and we're not sure whether we've been renewed. So one of our big topics is going to be, how do we make the ends meet, and how do we keep things going? Do we need more corporate sponsors? And that's always tough, because each individual school was trying to get corporate sponsors, and now how do you get the conference? And so there's this effort to raise the visibility of the conference statewide as well. But of course, we've got the CAA and we've got Division I's and in there as well. So I think we're off to a good start. We just have to try to convince people that being spread across the state would be advantage to them. So we're going to talk about that next time.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things I think of it, when you look at the respect that the ODAC gets, is to look at what we have in the postseason. The Stag Bowl, I believe it's called, the national championship for the D3 football game, is always hosted by the ODAC in Salem. The men's basketball Final Four, how many years has that been down there?
As long as I've been around.
Quite a while. That's been down in Salem. This year, softball, I think, is more of a rotating thing, and it started in Salem this year, I'm guessing.
It's Salem.
Is it a a couple-year contract.
Yeah, I know that they're not going to be in next year because that's going to be a loss of income for us.
But, there you go.
they were this year. I know
right,
that.
So we had softball there. And so that's
– Lacrosse. Okay. We've done volleyball.
Baseball probably has years ago.
Right.
And so it tells you a bit about the respect that our conference gets. And so it's fun to see when we get some of these right. sponsors like that, that yeah. they see the usefulness.
Yeah, if I have a chance, we'll talk a little bit more about that because it's actually the city of Salem, Virginia,
right.
that is the one that makes that. But there always has to be a host conference.
Right.
And so that does involve an awful lot of work. And, yeah, we are – I mean, the guy down there in charge of the Salem he's been at the NCAA numerous times giving seminars on how to host and things like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it's always puzzled me how this little town of Salem puts that much money in. Their facilities are very nice down there and how they put that into it. But, trying to understand. I mean, we struggle enough just to keep our own selves afloat and all the work we have to do, and yet there is this conference. And so I'm looking forward to our board meetings. Next week I'll report from there and hopefully have Brad Bankston on with us, and we'll talk a little bit more about the Integration Institute, which again is something that only a few conferences in the Division III level have done, and we've been one of the ones. This will be our second one, and we want to talk a little bit about that. So, well, that's been a little background on ODAC. Next week we'll talk to you from the ODAC board meetings, and we'll have an update on some of the agenda items that we've been doing and talk about the Integration Institute. Keep posted. James is going to try to keep some fresh things up there each time on our webpage, even though there's no activities going on. We've had some of our recruits come in. We've met with them during one of the spring orientation and registration weekends, so we've seen some of those. But interestingly enough, I've talked to each coach over the last week, and almost all of them are still involved with some students that are still trying to decide whether they want to come to college or whether they want to come to EMU. So thanks for joining us once again this week. I'm glad that you took the opportunity to listen in, and next week we'll report from the ODAC board meetings. And until that time, I invite you to make it a great week.